You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
What's up? What's happening on a very exciting Monday here in the district? Craig Hoffman with you, super producer Anthony Haney alongside. And today is an exciting day because it's the day that the Wizards franchise fortunes could change for the foreseeable future. And what I'm about to say might feel hyperbolic, but I promise you I've put real thought into this. I think that today could be the most consequential day, or actually, let me rephrase. I think today is the most consequential day the Wizards have had since they were the Bullets and the year turned to 1980. It's hard to say it's more consequential than winning or losing a title, which obviously happened in 1979 when they lost and happened in 1978 when they won. But since 1980, you tell me a more consequential day than the NBA draft lottery with a chance to get one of those guys. And when I say one of those guys, I mean a true franchise-changing level player, which is what I and many in the NBA believe that Cooper Flagg is. Now, tied for that would be 2 years ago, the same day. Had the Wizards upset the odds and gotten Victor Wembanyama, which we now know we're one ping pong ball away from getting, then everything changes, right? Instead of getting Bilal Coulibaly in that draft and picking at their natural spot at eighth, actually they wound up trading up to seventh on draft night in a swap with the Pacers. Then they're in year two of Wemby and you know, they're hopefully on the path to winning multiple championships because Victor Wembanyama is that good at basketball. But that night was less consequential in that the Wizards didn't have, like, we didn't go into that night thinking they were going to win. It was going to take a tremendous upset. And not that tonight is odds on the Wizards are going to get it. And I'll go through the process of it all in a second. But they literally have as good of a shot as anybody at winning the number one overall pick. And I think the more stunning statement that I will probably tell you is that I do not think there is a single player in the entire NBA that I would trade for the number one pick in this year's draft. And I know that feels crazy, but I'll run through it in a second of why I think that. First, the formatics. The lottery happens for the first four spots. Basically, there's 1,000 ping pong ball combinations, and each team has a set amount. So if you are the Wizards and you have a 14% chance of winning the top pick, you have 140 of the 1,000 combinations. The Utah Jazz also have 140. The Charlotte Hornets also have 140. Once you have the lottery for the first pick, they pick the four numbers. They say, whose combo is that? Oh, it's hopefully the Wizards. Wizards now come out. Everyone else goes back in. You pick four new numbers. If it's another Wizards pick, then you just throw that out. You do it again. Until you have a new team, that team gets second, do another one third, another one fourth. Then if someone has jumped their spot in line, so let's say someone comes from outside the top four in on one of those spots, everybody else just gets slotted in reverse record order. So the worst the Wizards can finish tonight is with the sixth overall pick. They have the second worst record in the league. That is thanks to the Bub Carrington buzzer beater against the Heat, which had them leapfrog the Utah Jazz. So if somehow the Jazz don't win any of the top four spots and the Wizards also don't win any of the top four spots, then the Wizards would pick sixth. That would suck. Still not catastrophic anymore. So like the top two picks in this draft are pretty well known. It's going to be Flagg and then Dylan Harper. The guard from Rutgers, but from there it's Ace Bailey. It is VJ Edgecombe from Baylor. There's a couple of other kids who kind of three through seven are now starting to get grouped together in more of the same level. But a lot of people kind of drop that line at somewhere around 5-6. So there might be a drop off depending on how you see the class. The Wizards will also come out of tonight with the 18th pick. I guess unless Will Dawkins walks out of the room and makes a trade. But they have the 18th pick from the Memphis Grizzlies in the Marcus Smart trade. So that is the stakes going into tonight. But Anthony, I do not think that as I sit here at 4:09 p.m. on May 12th, 2025, there is a single player in the NBA that I would trade tonight's number one pick for.
You said there is or there is not?
There is not. There's one guy I would consider, and that guy's Wemby. Because from a timeline standpoint, from an upside standpoint, from a what he's already proven to be standpoint, Victor Wembanyama is the bleepity bleeping truth. He also just missed the second part of the season with a blood clot issue. That if I get told he's never going to have to deal with that again, I would take the risk on Wembanyama. But Cooper Flagg is good enough that I don't know that I would take... Like you tell, okay, hey, Wizards get the number one pick tonight. They're going to trade it for Giannis. I don't think they have enough around him. Are there other teams that I might feel differently about? Sure, sure. You tell me I'm going to get the next 5 years of Giannis Antetokounmpo? That's a risk. And or for a kid who's 18 years old right now and hasn't played a second of NBA basketball, if you're a competitive team that thinks they can go right now, of course you take Giannis. Duh. And the Bucks probably want more than that first pick. But for the Wizards, with how young they are, unless you're telling me we're making like four trades and we're going to go get Tyrese Maxey from Philly and we're going to go, you know, get Giannis from Milwaukee and somehow we still have enough left over with our young pieces and our draft picks to go get another. And we're basically rebuilding a veteran team to start winning next year. And we're trying to flash fry, microwave, whatever. If you're telling me that unless there's a way to do that, I don't think there's a single player in the entire league that I would take in exchange for the number one pick and the rights to draft Cooper Flagg. I think he could be that good, and you get him with your natural selection and you pair him with Bub, Sar, Keyshawn George, AJ Johnson, Jordan Poole, Bilal Coulibaly, and all these young dudes that you, the 18th pick this year, all these young dudes that get to grow together, you can build it organically up from the dirt in the way that Oklahoma City has after they got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the Paul George trade. Like, sign me up for that, bro. That is how you win in this league. You can do what the Celtics did when they got Brown and Tatum as young pups and just let them grow together. Sign me up for that. And that's what is awaiting the Wizards tonight if this lottery goes their way.
No, I would agree. I definitely would have a tough time, you know, trading that pick because we are already a young team. But the Giannis one does intrigue me, though, still, though. And I think the only way I would want Giannis here is if he's willing to be patient. Like, obviously, he's growing impatient.
He doesn't have time to be patient. Yeah. I know this is crazy because it feels like Giannis, you know, he's not that old. He's not old, period. But he is about to be 30. Like, that's the whole deal, is he's running out of time. If you want Giannis, it's because you want to compete right now.
Now.
If I'm Philly and I can somehow get my hands on Giannis. Because so here's there's a bunch of Brian Windhorst did a good job with this, and actually we should probably go through this next. He did a good job with this on NBA today. There is a ton of potential repercussions tonight because the pick, like if it goes to a team like Charlotte, Utah, Washington, okay, done. But what happens if the second, third, fourth pick, or really if anyone gets the number one pick, they're going to stick and pick, they're going to take flag, right? If you are another team and you're a Brooklyn, you are a Houston, you are a Philly, some of these teams that have chances to get in that are good right now, and you could flip the third pick in this draft as the centerpiece of a package for Giannis, like that becomes very interesting for the Bucks to consider, for Giannis to consider, and for that team to consider. So let's do this next. Let's run through the other teams in the lottery and what's at stake tonight. We'll give you all the odds, all the teams, what happens depending on how they fall. And then coming up at 4:30, rookie mini camp recap with Logan Paulson after the Commanders rookie camp this weekend featured all of their draft picks and a couple of notable undrafted free agents that they've already signed and some tryout players whose names you might know. We'll get to all of that. Plus, if you got a call on the NBA draft lottery, we can take that too. 301-230-0980. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Of course, we're your home for Wizards basketball, which could get the best news it's gotten arguably ever in the history of the franchise tonight if they win the NBA draft lottery and Cooper Flagg winds up in D.C. We'll review the Commanders rookie minicamp coming up at 4:30. But right now, let's take a look at the list of teams, Anthony, for the... Like, these are the 14 teams that could wind up in the draft lottery tonight and their odds of how they stack up. Number one pick and also the chance that they win one of the top four spots. So, Utah's got the best odds, although their odds are identical to the Wizards and to the Hornets. So, it's 14% to get the number one pick, 52.1% to get a top four pick in general. So, any of those three teams, the Wizards, the Jazz, the Hornets, they get the pick. They get really any of those top four picks. You'd have to imagine they're just going to pick, stay, add to their rosters of young talent, and boogie from there. The top four players in this draft, Flag, Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe, those are the guys. And, you know, they go pretty much in that order, although the Bailey, Edgecombe, and a couple other guys that we'll talk about, those guys are maybe a little bit more interchangeable. The fourth team is where things start to get interesting, Anthony. The fourth team is the New Orleans Pelicans. They have a 12.5% of getting the number one overall pick. They have the top four pick odds of 48%. And they also have new executives in charge, and I think Zion Williamson is going to be on the block this offseason.
Really?
I think that this is a chance for new management to come in. Joe Dumars, Troy Weaver, Troy, who was in Detroit, got let go in Detroit, came here for a season, worked with Michael Winger and Will Dawkins in that front office as an advisor, and then got poached to go to New Orleans, where I think he's been before. I think for them, you just punt on Zion. You say, let's sell at whatever we can get him at right now. Maybe you try to get, you know, you have a conversation with him and say, hey, man, let's get you healthy. Let's see what we can do. And then depending on where you're at the trade deadline, you go there. But especially if you can start over with a new superstar as a centerpiece, I kind of think that you just, they already punted on Brandon Ingram. McCollum's getting up there. I would sell everything off for parts and start over. You're not going to have a longer runway than when you're the new guys in town.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, I mean, I guess this could be their, you know, new franchise guy that they build around, but I don't know, when Zion's been healthy, and the thing is, though, Craig, like I could see if Zion wasn't willing to, you know, address his nutrition, his health, and things of that nature, but he's trying. Like, I mean, you can't help the fact that, you know, he's getting some bad injury luck.
But that's why you just say, like, are we going to keep hoping that he stays healthy, or do you just punt and say, hey, we'll, if he winds up figuring it out, good for him. We'll take the first round. They could still probably get 2, 3, maybe 4 first-round picks for him.
Mm.
I don't know whether 4. They probably get 2 or 3 first-round picks, depending on who's the buyer.
Yeah.
And if you have multiple people, depending on what kind of his reputation is in the league. But just because you're trying doesn't mean it's working. And if I was them, I would be like, you know what? I'm good. Philly is at 5. If they win the bleeping lottery, man, NBA people are going to be so mad. I'm going to be so mad. I will say they've done a lot of stuff right over the years. They have, speaking of bad injury luck, they've also done a lot of bad stuff, missed picks, bad trades, bad free agency decisions. But ultimately, they gave themselves all those shots. They epitomized the process. And Joel Embiid, for a very small time, was the best player in the world. Won MVP last year was unbelievable, or 2 years ago, I beg your pardon, was unbelievable till he got hurt. Last year's a lost season. If they, Tyrese Maxey's a stud, and if they can all of a sudden get like a Cooper Flag and bring Embiid back slowly, dude, they're instantly back in contender status. If Flag can do anything as a rookie, but even then, like Flag and Maxey together for a long time is a heck of a duo. They've got a 42% chance of being in the top four. I think the other thing is, like, depending on how Joel's knee comes along, they could be a team that trades out and tries to land Giannis if they get a top four, but not top one pick. Same is true for Brooklyn at 6. They've got a 9% chance of the top pick, 37% chance of landing in the top four. They have the most salary cap space in the league this offseason. So that's worth pointing out as well. Toronto's a really interesting team, Anthony. They've got 7.5% chance at the top pick, 31.9% chance of being in the top four. They traded for Brandon Ingram with New Orleans last year. They've got Scotty Barnes. Like, they've got a ton of young talent. If they were to add one of the top 7 guys, frankly, in this draft, like, they continue to just build that young core. My question is, at what point do you spin one or two guys off and try to get a vet, or is Brandon Ingram that guy? And all of a sudden, do they mess around and they're the 6th seed with hopefully more ascension to come in the Eastern Conference next year? I just realized Anthony's answering phone calls, so we'll maybe take some calls here in a second. We'll go to Spurs next. Obviously, that would be the throw your hands up, I can't believe they won it selection. They have a 26.3% chance at top four, 6% chance at the top pick.
Man, they will be the team to win.
They would have Castle, this year's Rookie of the Year, Wemby, De'Aaron Fox, and Cooper Flagg.
Ridiculous.
I'd puke. The Rockets, they have a 3.8% chance, 17.3% chance of being in the top four, 3.8 at the top pick. If they, to me, this is a team that if they get in the top four, they try to make the big, whether it's Giannis, whether it's whatever else, do you take the swing on Zion? Like, this is the team that if they get the pick, they should make the swing.
What team?
The Rockets.
Yeah.
Or they could also trade, you know, keep this pick and then trade, whether it's Cam Whitmore, Reed Shepard, some of their first-round picks in the last couple of years that aren't in their rotation. Could they sell on one of those guys? Or even Jalen Green. Could they sell on him, try to get a star? Obviously, they've been linked to Kevin Durant a lot. You know, does Ja Morant wind up wanting to get out of Memphis this summer? This is going to be a funky summer in the NBA. Portland, they have a 3.8% chance. The top pick, 10th best odds. Top four pick odds of 16.9%. I think they would probably just continue to add. The one that would be so infuriating is if Dallas got their 1.8% chance of getting a top pick. If this thing ends with Nico Harris and getting Cooper Flagg, I'm going to fly to Dallas and join the riots. He doesn't deserve that. They have an 8.5% chance of getting the top pick. The Chicago Bulls have a 1.8% chance, 8% chance at a top four pick. The Hawks, who won it last year, 0.8% chance, 3.8% top four pick. And then finally, the San Antonio Spurs, their own pick. This one's via Atlanta, which hilarious. Atlanta's got their pick via Sacramento. And then Atlanta's natural pick to San Antonio, 0.8% and then 3.4%. There's also a chance that the Thunder come out of tonight with a pick.
No way, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember whose they have, but they have the – where did it go? I think they have the Sixers if they fall out of the top – I think it's the top eight. They're the number five team, so things would have to go really sideways. But there's a chance that the Thunder come out tonight with a lottery pick as well. Because, of course, they always have a chance at a lottery pick. All right. Anthony, do we bump back the Commanders talk and take some calls? Because we got calls. People want to talk lottery. People want to talk Wizards.
Sure.
We can say no.
Let's talk on the break.
Okay. Your calls. Or not. Next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
All right, we lost a few calls of the break. So we're going to go Commanders here. We'll talk more about the NBA draft lottery with David Aldridge. And why have the NBA playoffs been so freaking weird? We'll talk to DA, the Hall of Famer, coming up at 5 o'clock. Right now, though, take command style. Let's go right to the source. Logan was at rookie minicamp this weekend. He saw the draft picks. He saw all the undrafted guys who they've already signed. He saw the undrafted guys trying to get signed. So without further ado, here's our recap, take command style, here on The Hoffman Show.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
What's up? What's happening? Welcome in. It's the Take Command podcast. I'm Craig Hoffman. He is Logan Paulson. And Logan, hope everybody had a happy Mother's Day as folks are listening to this, hopefully coming off a fantastic weekend. And we're actually going to have a mom on the show on Thursday, Mina Kimes. She's got a little one running around. So don't forget that Mina's coming on the show on Thursday. But today we'll answer a couple of mailbag questions, Logan, and talk about rookie minicamp, which you went to on Saturday.
Yeah. And, obviously looking forward to having me on the show. That's always going to be a great time. But the, rookie minicamp is a funny deal. You know what I mean? Because I think everyone thinks it's this really grand thing. It's about an hour. You know, they do a warm-up. They do a little bit individual. They do one competitive period. And I'm going to put air quotes on the competitiveness of it because it's just 7-on-7. And so it's really hard to kind of get a feel for, players and athletes. And I think people say, well, you know, what is the benefit of rookie minicamp? And I would say it lets you kind of get, for some of these like tryout guys specifically, like I think we talked about this maybe leading in, it's like really hard for a tryout guy to make it.
Yeah.
But it does let you kind of get a feel for the guy, how they're wired, what they're, you know, how they study. And I think that that's something that you can get out of it when you're watching practices, just like general modus operandi for the individual. Do they look the part generally? And do they show anything maybe a little bit more, a little bit upside? And I think that's, again, kind of if you ever get a chance to watch rookie minicamp, like that's really what it is. You're not going to be able to be like, oh, so-and-so had a pick or so-and-so did this or that was an amazing tackle. Like they're in soft shells. They have helmets on. It's basically just a warm-up. You know what I mean? Like that's really what it is, like an extended warm-up with some football stuff. But it does let you kind of get a feel for the kid and what's going on in terms of their mental wiring. So.
Right, and they're in for the week or the weekend, so you get a little bit of classroom time.
2 days, 3 days?
Yeah,
three days.
Get a little bit of classroom time because you have to be able to install, like you have to have plays to run, even if it's a very, 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 very slim playbook. So you get to see how these guys learn. You get to see how they adapt. You get to see how they respond to feedback on the field. How coachable are you? Like you get that kind of stuff, but like, are you a good NFL football player? You're not answering that question at all. What you're really trying to answer is like, could this guy potentially maybe, if I squint and see it, become an NFL good, even in a decent NFL football player.
Yeah, and it's funny the things you're like looking at. You know, I was watching the special teams drill, you know, and so obviously you're kind of keeping an eye on guys that just have like, you know, there's an effort, there's an energy, there's a pop to their play. And one of the guys that stood out to me was Trey Amos, right? And he should stand out. He's your second round pick. But, you know, every single time, like the coach being like, hey, that's exactly what we want. That's the best rep of the day. Like, he's taking feedback from the coach. He's applying it to the drill and he's executing it with his tremendous physical ability. And again, like you kind of go back to your priors and you say, oh, well, we knew Trey Amos was a smart kid, right? We knew he was like, he kind of played in multiple systems. He's like a football. He's been exposed to a lot of football. And so it makes sense that he'd have a really good player's ear for coaching. Right. And so that's always really good. And then the safety from, where's he from? Jackson State. Is that correct?
Rob McDaniel.
Yeah. You know, he, like, you're watching him do the bag drill where they, like, kick set on the punt team and they hit and they strike the bag. And he has a good feel for the stab arm and the bag when he strikes it. It's got a really good pop to it. So you're like, okay, there's a guy that has some good play strength and has a good feel for the rhythms of it. So, I mean, that's kind of stuff you're looking for. You're just kind of looking for, like, hey, these are guys that, you know, like, obviously Trey Amos is getting verbal confirmation that he's doing a good job in the drill. But then, you know, with the safety, for example, it's more like, hey, like, this is, he's showing a physicality in the context of this that you're like, oh, this is pretty solid. So
yeah, for sure. They signed on Friday. So this was before the first practice, the one that was initially going to be open, then got moved inside due to rain, and then they opened Saturday to the media instead. But before they could start camp, they actually signed a bunch of dudes. Just real quick, the listed names. And then I want to run through kind of how everybody looked. Because the other thing, Logan, about seeing these guys, and you've had a chance for the draft picks, I guess, to see them in person before, not in football pads, because you've had a chance to interview a bunch of them Command Center. But the first time you like see guys in a uniform, even if it's shorts and shells, you're like, oh. And one of the things you texted me was like, yeah, Connerly's huge. And he's just like, you're like, you're an NFL size player versus other guys where you're like, oh, I see why you were maybe a UDFA. But the list of guys, just so people have it, this could change by the end of the week, where they cut a guy and bring in someone else or whoever. But Cam Arnold, Ricky Barber, the defensive tackle, Ja'Cory Brooks, the receiver from Louisville, who we talked about last week. Ventrell Cypress is a corner. Jacoby Jones, receiver. Ale Cajo, another UCLA linebacker, if I'm remembering correctly. Rob McDaniel, the safety we just talked about. Timothy McKay, who is a guard who I saw on the side. He's got like his arm was in a sling.
He tore his pec benching at his pro day.
But
I mean, it's to me, like, I think I said this somewhere else, but he's kind of a guy that could have been drafted, but obviously with the injury isn't. Yeah. So he's a nice guy to get in the program for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So he's on the 90, and if he can recover from that torn pec, and who knows, maybe they even put him on like PUP or whatever, and he just misses, he basically gets a redshirt year to be around the building and rehab, and then let's see if the, you know, it's a free draft pick almost for next year. Trey Rucker, the safety, and then Carlin Vigors, the corner, who we talked about as well last week. So those are the UDFAs who they signed to the 90-man roster going into the weekend, Logan. But let's start out with the draft picks. Josh Connerly, what'd you see from him? I know, again, it's not much. There's no competitive situations for the O-line, D-line, because it's just the 7-on-7. But what'd you see from Josh Connerly, how he moved on the football field in person, anything else that stood out?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously he's kind of touted as being this great athlete. So you want to see a certain amount of athleticism. And you see that, like, one of the drills that I really enjoyed watching was they have him do like a pull path, or like they work like a combination to the second level. So they're kind of working in a space and they take one of those big blue physio balls. Sometimes they're black, and then they roll them across the ground and they kind of bend down and pick it up as they're running. And so it's a good way to kind of see how people work the timing of their feet, you know, how they kind of can bend and sink their hips while running full speed, which is something that's really important for offensive linemen. And you kind of watch them all go through, and Connerly would come up, and each one prior, there's like a little bit of a hiccup, there's a trip, they kick the ball, and then Connerly comes up on all of his reps and was literally just like about as smooth as I've ever seen it done. So like, that's a good sign, right? You're just checking that athlete box. They did some pass pro stuff where, again, like, you see his quick feet. Everyone's familiar with the Connerly challenge at this point. Like, those feet are live and they're real in terms of watching him on the field. And I actually was impressed with how big he looked. Like, you know, I've met him. We did the first interview right after he got drafted, and he's 315, but he doesn't feel like he's like a thin 315, you know? And so seeing him on the field in his pants, like, it's a crazy thing to say, I know.
I know.
But seeing him on the field in his pads, you're like, oh, like, he's a big dude. You know, he looked like one of the bigger guys out there. And they had a guy from Mississippi State who was 330, and they looked about the same size. So again, like, I think thinking about him continuing to grow, continue to get more kind of muscularity to his body is going to be cool. But the athlete was definitely there. And that's always like, that's kind of the simplest box to check, but at least he didn't look like the Tin Man out there, which is something that I've seen happen before in minicamp.
Yeah, for sure. There's two things in there that you said that reminded me of Trent. One is just a story from Trent. But the second one is what you said last. We're like, you didn't realize how big Trent Williams was until he was in uniform, or you were standing right next to him, because he's so fluid as an athlete. And he's just like walking around. You're like, oh yeah, that's a big man. And then, like, I remember one time I was walking in the locker room like shoulder to shoulder with him, except for my shoulder is not at his shoulder because I'm only 6 feet tall and he's larger. And you're just like, God. And then, like, you'd see him come out of the tunnel in pads, and you're like, oh, that's Trent Williams. The other thing that I remember Trent telling me at one point is, even for him, at his athleticism, like, the greatest athlete probably to ever play left tackle, he's like, hitting little dudes in space is the hardest thing I do. It's so hard. You have these little guys that are trying to juke you. You're out there full speed trying to block, and, like, it was fun for Trent because when he hit, like, it just was on all the highlight reels, and, like, he'd be out there killing dudes. But it's, you know, when you talked about Connerly, having an athleticism and a coordination at full speed that other guys don't have, like, that is an elite trait. And not saying that Connerly's going to do it at Trent's level, because no one else ever has. But obviously, the guys who can do that at a high level in space, that's a huge thing, especially in this run game with all the GT pulling and GT counter and all the GT everything that these guys do, where that tackle is out there in space. All right, Trey Amos, you talked about him a little bit already in the special teams drills, but I also know that he stood out to you a little bit with what he can do on defense.
Yeah, you know, they do that, you know, obviously the special team stuff was excellent. You know, just to see a guy who's locked in, like, correct shoulder on the tackle. You know, they're not tackling anybody, but the bag's there, and they approach the same way. They're in good position. They run the hoop the right way, getting the feedback from the coach. That's good. You know, and again, it's not going to say he's going to be a Pro Bowler, but it's just, like, good to see that box get checked. He's taking coaching. And then they do that drill where they kind of imagine there's a receiver towards the sideline. They've got their hand out. They say ball, and they turn around, they catch it. And so you get, it's kind of cool. You get to watch everybody go one after another. And it's always good, because I try to sit kind of far away, like up on the hill, so I can see everything.
Yeah.
And it's always good when you say, who the heck is that guy? Because you can't see the number necessarily until they get back in line. You're like, oh, that's Trey Amos. Like, that's a good sign, right? Your first round pick should feel and move at a different caliber, or second round pick, excuse me.
Yeah.
Should be a little bit different than the rest of those guys. And I felt like that's the vibe I got from Trey Amos. Just the way he tracked the football, even in the coverage, like when they were kind of did like skelly coverages, you know, like when they're kind of, they get the scout team defense out there and they run offensive routes and they kind of match. Just, you could tell he was locked in. It was a good day for him. And again,
it's rookie minicamp, and he's probably one of the best two players out there. So he should have a good day, but at least he had the good day.
Yeah, and like, again, like you've seen, I've seen, you go out there and you're like, ooh. Like, I think, honestly, like, I think about Brandon Scherff the first time I played with Brandon Scherff. And Brandon Scherff's one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. But the first week he played tackle, I was like, oh, no. You know, like, he just, it was a little bit slower. It wasn't up to the speed. It wasn't quite. And then, obviously, they moved him to guard, and then the rest is history. But there is a little bit of, I think, consternation until they get the guy in the building. And so, for both those guys to look and move the way they're supposed to move, I thought was appropriate. And again, it wasn't like they're just, oh, I'm just kind of subjectively evaluating. It's like, he's the one that's always catching the football. He's the one that's able to turn and open his hip the right way. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So there were some things there empirically to take away from that.
All right, Jalen Lane, fourth round pick. By the way, if you want a little bit more on Jalen, I talked to his special teams coordinator, Virginia Tech, on the show on Friday, Stu Holt. So Stu was great. Caught Stu on the golf course. So he took a hole off and was willing to talk to us. So that's a good man right there. Appreciate it. Also helps your score. Hey, oh, just those shots didn't happen. I don't know why I shot five better today than I usually do. But no, Stu was great. So if you want to check that out in the Hoffman Show podcast feed, you can do that there. But Logan, what'd you see from Jalen on Saturday?
So obviously the first thing you see is him catching punts. And like, if they've got five dudes here that can catch punts, and they all kind of go up and do it different ways. But just kind of the confidence that he catches it with, like how he hits it downhill, like all those little things you want to see. They're doing it on air. So again, like, it's don't sell the farm on him yet, but it's good to see him do that.
Yeah, I will say Stu said that he's the most fearless returner he's ever seen. And so I know it's against air and it's whatever, but like, the fact that that stood out to you, and that's our, like, that's one of the things that his coach and other evaluators have seen. Like, I think it's pretty cool that you saw that, like, in a drill on air. We were just like,
and just to give you an
confidence
example,
how it goes. Yeah.
And why I would say that is, like, some guys get under there and they have to get right under the football. And when they catch it, they really bend their knees and sink their hips, and they really absorb the ball in a way, and because it makes it hard for them to run afterwards. He'd get up there and he catches it kind of with a greater knee angle. Like, he's kind of standing tall, and so he can just hit it. Like, you can just tell, like, he's ready to go. There's no deep basket catch. There's no off angle. It's like, I'm lined up, and even if I'm not perfectly lined up, I can hit this thing downhill. So even though he catches the ball, and again, it's six reps, seven reps, so there's nothing like crazy about it. But I think that's a good sign, and that shows up on film at Virginia Tech. The other thing is, like, watching him run routes, I think he's got a little bit of, and this is something I thought, again, like, when we were talking about him, like, just a little bit of stiffness, right? And sometimes those super fast guys are really a little stiff, but catches the football well. The thing that I kind of took away, kind of the most important skill, most important quality from him is, dude, he is locked in. He's locked in. Every drill's important. He's catching the football. He's finishing. Like, he's going to be a good pro. Like, you see the coach's kid of his background, and I'm like, at a minimum, he's going to be a good special teams player, but like he's going to continue to get better, right? He's like for example, there was a couple guys there that were tryout guys, right? And there's one guy in particular we'll talk about in a second who I thought did a great job of this. But other guys, there's just like a lack of urgency. And with Jalen Lane, he was urgent all the time. And I think that's something that you say, okay, like this is why this guy is who he is. This is why you take him in the fourth round. And again, like that's what I like to see too. I like to see guys that are locked in, checking boxes. This is important to you. And that's another really good thing about rookie minicamp. It's like, yeah, you're a draft pick, you're on the team, like whatever, but to see that like we're locked in, this is important, yeah. We're getting better today, that's important also. So
yeah, this is your first day at work. Treat it like such. And Jalen Lane did. All right, what about your boy Kane Medrano?
Yeah, man. I mean, he just is like a different mover. You know, I think they had five or six linebackers there, you know, and he just is like a different cut of guy. You know what I'm saying? Like they did like a drill where you got to backpedal and open up and catch the football. And like his ability to like adjust and like kind of contort to catch the ball. They did this drill where they're doing backpedals and then have to backpedal under the chute and then run out of it. And so what you'll see is guys like dip their head, their butt will come up, and it's a tough drill. Like I've done it as a blocker. Like it's very uncomfortable under there to keep that kind of pad level. And again, like to his athleticism, like it looks like there's nothing there. It looks like he's just kind of skating. So again, the athletes there, I did think he did have a learning curve in the punt drill that they were doing pre-practice, you know, like kind of just, hey man, like make sure we're stabbing the inside hand. And as a guy who did punting for a long time, you can see it, you can feel it, like that hand should shoot out there. Because if you're playing guard, for example, on the punt team, your inside hand, if I'm playing the right guard, my left hand is actually helping the center get to his block. And if I don't put my hand out there, the weakest part of the protection is the center. So I need to trust that he needs to trust me that my hand's out there, and then I need to get to my work secondary. A lot of times in college, because of the rules, you know, they have this kind of free release punt. The guys just don't have that skill set developed yet. So he'll figure it out. He's a smart kid. They're going to get him right because he's going to be a great special teams player here. There's no doubt in my mind. But, you know, like the athletes there, the urgency's there. But obviously the technical accumulation is still new to these guys. And that's why it's great to get the rookie minicamp in, because you can kind of start laying the foundation for some of that stuff.
For sure. And then last but not least amongst the draft picks, how about Bill?
Yeah, I think of all the positions that are like toughest to evaluate, it's the running backs, yeah. You know, because there's like, yeah, you look good in the bag.
It's like a training camp practice. You score on every play.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you look good in the, and they don't even do team run. You know, they do like individual. So he's with the running back coach the whole time. They do routes on air, and then they do 7-on-7. And none of those things are things like, again, you want to see them catch the football well, obviously. You want to see them look good in the bag drills, obviously. But there's no blitz pickup. There's none of the physical elements of the position are there for you to look at. I think that's the thing about it that is tough with a running back specifically, right? It's just like, yeah, you look super fast. You look like you've got great feet and good. You should have those things if you're an NFL running back. But then it's like, as they get into training camp, you get to see more of that physicality. So I think you look fine. You know, I'm not going to make any declarative statements about what he is or what he isn't, because I want to see him with the pads on and I want to see him get downhill. I want to see him pick up a blitz. I think he can do all those things, but rookie minicamp for running back specifically is kind of like, okay,
it's a workout. It's not it's not a football
practice. And to be fair, like for all those guys, like the movement skills are all there, the professionalism's there, and that's exactly what you want to see. Yeah. But you know, people change when the pads come on. And I think that's something that I always have to remind myself is like, you can look great in shirts and shorts, but when the pads come on, like that's when we're playing the game. And Santana is always so good about reminding me of this, is because like we go out and watch practice every day, and it's like, oh, look at this guy move, look at that catch, look at this break on the football by the DB. And Tana's like, man, like this is great, and it's good to kind of see this like preliminary evaluation, but shoot, like they're not playing football yet. And I think it's always a good reminder, especially with a rookie minicamp setup like this.
Yeah, for sure. All right. With that caveat, in fresh on our minds, is there any of the UDFAs that stand out that you want to talk about? We talked about McDaniel a little bit already, but whether it's more on him, some that you haven't said yet, or that you think is important, or any of the other guys?
You know, the guy from the International Pathway Program, TJ Magaraga, I don't know how to say his name, but it's like,
sorry,
it's,
TJ.
He's from Nigeria. He looks good. He looks big. He looks fast. He looks urgent. You know, like watching him do the pass rush drills, he catches your eye. as a guy that's like kind of twitched up, has some good movement skills. In the punt drill, he's just like every play, he's like giving it all, which I like to see, you know. And I'm not saying he's going to make the team, but like the body's there, the mentality seems to be there, and I want to see what he looks like with pads on. But he's a guy that caught my eye. I mentioned Rog McDaniel. Wait,
after just real quick. So for background on, I don't know that I'm going to do any better on the name, but Maguren Yangwa. And again, like TJ, that. we'll try to get your name right. Sorry to not have the pronunciation guide in front of us. But he's from Zimbabwe, 22 years old, former rugby player. And the thing is, he's 22 years old. He's a young dude. And so to know that you get basically a free practice squad spot, like he's going to be around this year. And that tends to be how those international pathway players work. The chances that he turns into Jordan Mailata are very slim. A guy who like bona fide NFL player, nevertheless, one of the best at his position. But a guy that, you know, if he's playing rugby and at a professional grade level, like, you know, the athlete is there and he's so young. So it's going to be fun to watch him develop. He's only, you know, he's listed like 222 pounds. So if he's going to play defensive end, like we're going to, your main job is going to be to stay in the cafeteria. In the weight room, to get twitched up and or stay twitched up, but at a weight that you can attack an offensive tackle. But it's gonna be fun to watch him.
He definitely looks like kind of like McGee a little bit, like kind of this rocked up hypermuscular build. Which is, so I don't know if he weighs 220, but he looks bigger. You know,
he's listed at 220. He could have already gained 10 pounds, 15.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But again, like, he's a guy that definitely caught my eye. I already mentioned Rob McDaniel, the safety, just like his physicality. He just seems like a dark horse candidate to maybe make the squad. Ja'Cory Brooks was another guy that stood out to me. And talk about receivers, get to watch them all kind of one after another. Like the craftsmanship of what he did, like watching him in 7-on-7, the releases, finding the space, the route mechanics in terms of how to break down, how to stem a route, like that showed up for me. And so those were probably the two guys that I thought stood out the most. Ventrell Cyprus was hurt, so he didn't practice. So him and Timothy McKay didn't practice. They were on the side. But the two guys that I mentioned, I thought the three guys that I mentioned look pretty solid. And again, it's one step, it's one baby step in the right direction. But just based on the first day of practice that I saw, I thought those were some guys that deserved a shout out.
All right, so shout out to them. We'll see a bunch of those dudes at OTAs, which are towards the end of the month, and that's kind of the next big thing. So there's your rookie minicamp recap. Let's get to some mailbag questions. All right, if you want to hear the mailbag questions, well, then listen to Take Command, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And then when we get back here on the Team 980, I get to ask the questions of David Aldridge. The Hall of Famer joins us to talk NBA draft lottery as well as the NBA playoffs next here on the Team 980.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.